Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight, we have a terrifying tale about the repercussions of bullying. About these kids who keep messing with this stuttering child that lives in their neighborhood. And things go horribly wrong. Stay tuned, because you're not going to want to miss this. If you're new to the channel, subscribe. Click on that bell and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. I should start off by saying I'm ashamed of what I'm about to tell you. I told myself I would take it to my grave, but the weight of it has been becoming too much for me to bear on my own. I need to share it with someone else, or it will just eat me alive. Greg and I weren't bullies. Quite the opposite, in fact. I got beat up pretty frequently, and he took his fair share of it as well. But there was this one kid even we picked on, maybe to make ourselves feel better for the crap that we had to take every day. Melvin had a speech impediment, a stutter. Not only that, but he was always full of joy and excitement, talking constantly and dragging it on forever as he tried to get the words out. He was a know-it-all, a tattletale, all the things that made kids like us, who felt down and out, want to make him feel the same way. And so we tortured him. Not literally, of course. But we definitely weren't nice. I was much more pleasant with him when we were on our own, since the two of us were sort of friends in a way that's only possible when you're kids. Adversaries and chums at the same time, somehow. But when my friends were around, I joined them in treating him like total shit. The fact that it was such accepted behavior within my social group made it feel like we weren't even doing anything wrong by treating him so poorly. One time, Greg, Ryan, and I called him and told him to meet us at the park. We said he should bring his bike, baseball glove, bat, baseball, basketball, and two tennis rackets. Then we hid in the forest and watched him laughing as he rode around the field calling our names, struggling to maintain his balance on the bicycle as he was riding, overwhelmed with far too many items to carry. Another time, we hid in a tree and did something similar. We watched him go for a few short feet as he looked for us, passing by beneath us and asking my brother where we had gone. That time I actually felt bad and climbed down after a little while and told him we had been kidding around. Greg was pissed off at me for not keeping the prank going. The kid was gullible, so we would mess with him again and again. It was almost too easy. Once my brother made a phony Visual Basic computer program in the late 90s, the age of the dial-up modem, BBS, bad haircuts, and neon clothing. He set the whole thing up pretty professionally and made it look like software for the Pentagon. We showed it to Melvin, who screamed and ran away horrified when he clicked the fake buttons to bomb Middle East and crash stock market. He actually hid under the blankets of my bed, thinking that the police were going to come for us. I don't know whose idea it was to go into the forest that day with Melvin, but we had it all planned out before we met up with him. We knew exactly what we were going to do with him out there. The forest was large enough that you could walk for hours through it. And the three of us, Melvin excluded, did that all the time. We knew it like the back of our hands, and knew that he didn't. Did you guys hear there's been a wolf seen wandering around the forest? Greg asked in his most serious voice. For real? Melvin asked. Yeah, man. We better be careful out here. You don't want to run into a wolf in their habitat. They'll eat you alive. We walked and talked for a while longer, until we were at the spot where we had planned to leave him. I'm gonna go take a leak, said Greg. He walked off into the woods, just as we had talked about. We were at least an hour away from the entrance to the forest, and I believed that Melvin could make it back on his own. We wanted to test that theory. Like I said, I'm not proud of myself. And we wanted him to be scared, that too. The sun wasn't far from the horizon, and it would be setting soon. He had already said he wanted to head back in a minute, that his mom would tell him not to be late for dinner. Time passed for a while when we waited in silence. What the hell is taking him so long? Ryan said, feigning annoyance. Screw it. I've got to go too. I'm going to see what his problem is. Probably taking a dump.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
He walked off and I could see Melvin's body language change. I wondered if he knew what was going on. The two of us waited in awkward silence for a few minutes. As time passed, I began to suspect he was not going to let me leave him. He was shifting on his feet and trembling somewhat. He looked scared. I started to feel scared too, as the sun began to go down and the light began to fade. I had watched a movie with Tim Curry playing a certain terrifying clown a couple of nights before, and memories of it were still haunting my dreams and waking life. I gotta take a leak really bad, actually, I said, as casually as possible. I wanted to get out of there. I wanted to go home while there was still some light left. The thought about being in those woods at night suddenly terrified me.
No, you can't leave me alone out here with the wolf.
Man, you'll be fine. I'll just be a minute. I tried to walk away, and he grabbed my wrist, squeezing it tightly.
Don't leave me here, please. Are you guys messing with me again? I don't know if I can find my way back.
I pulled my arm away from him and began to walk quickly in the direction Greg and Ryan had gone. He hurried after me, shouting at me not to leave him.
Just give me a minute, will ya? I need some privacy, man.
He looked stunned and hurt when I glanced back over my shoulder, but he had stopped. His eyes showed that he didn't believe me, but it didn't change the fact that he was listening to me regardless. As I neared the tree line, I expected to see Ryan and Greg waiting for me, getting ready to make a run for it, as we had planned. We were going to leave him out in the woods. I'm more than ashamed to admit. We figured he could find his way back, and we wanted to scare him and to mess with him. But what happened next was not something that could have been predicted. Instead of my friends waiting for me in the trees, there was a clown. His face was painted sloppily with white makeup, and he had red vertical stripes above and below his eyes. His mouth was smeared red, and whatever he had painted it with was still wet. Drool poured from his lips as he smiled at me with his crouched down hiding place in the foliage. He had on a white and red pinstripe clown outfit, and it was splattered with gore. I saw my friends' bodies then. They had been torn apart. Their throats opened up, and somehow had been feeding on what was inside. The clown thing in the trees watched me watching him, saw me seeing the bodies of my dead friends, and he giggled. A high-pitched titter like a little girl. I was too stunned to run away at first. Then he stood from his shadowy place and began to take long, stalking strides towards me. His eyes were hypnotic, ancient. They pulled me in like a zoom-in close-up of an actor in a movie, making me want to go towards him. But I tore my glance away with an effort which I heard Melvin's stuttering voice calling, "What is it? What's wrong?" I turned on my heels and ran. The clown was only a few feet away from me by that point, and he reached out his long arms and almost grabbed me. My terror was a living thing at that moment, pressing me forwards, pushing me from behind, and making me run. But Melvin hadn't seen it yet. The clown thing was just out of his view, hidden behind some trees. When I ran past him, he didn't follow, just watched hypnotized as the thing came around the overgrowth and headed towards him. I was too terrified to look back at first, afraid that if it saw me looking, it would draw me back in towards it with those eyes. Those eyes that had briefly entranced me. The thing was not a person. I knew that much, even as a child. The curiosity became too much to bear when I heard Malcolm's screams from behind me as I ran. I turned and saw the clown pulling him apart. He peeled him open like a cheese string. He took pieces from inside of my friend and ate them, swallowing his organs whole. His horrifying eyes glanced up at me as I backed away, and even from a distance, I could feel his power. The thing was made of everything that we were afraid of. Melvin's fear of a wolf that would eat him alive. My newfound fear of clowns. Somehow we had manifested this thing that was intent on destroying us. Maybe this was our punishment for tormenting the poor kid for so long. But then, why did he have to die and not me? It doesn't make sense. I still can't figure out why I was spared, and why my three friends had to die. Maybe now you understand why I was going to take this with me to my grave. Why I was never going to share this story with anyone. But I have to. It helps to get it out. It helps me not to feel so afraid. Because when I'm afraid, the things I'm scared of, they get bottled up, and after a while, the pressure begins to feel like too much. My nightmares start to seep out and escape into reality. And they have a way of finding me.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.